But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Anybody know that the word has validity? That anything you need, it's in the word.
Welcome to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for some dynamic teaching, preaching, and insight on the word of God that will guide you to your destiny as a believer. At the end of the broadcast, information will be given about their church location and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. Now let's join the Excellence in Ministry broadcast already in progress.
Let me be clear. If you're here today, you're not here by accident, but you're here by God's divine providence. There's a reason he sent you this way. There's a reason why he brought you to this place. There's a reason he wanted you to hear that word, because he wants you to surrender your life finally to Jesus Christ. Don't forget about what you used to do. Please know that today is the first day for the rest of your life. And it's yours to give your life to Jesus. All you got to do is turn your life around. Not because you're perfect, but because you're forgiven. All you got to do is surrender your life to him. If you're in that balcony, you don't have a church home, you'll be coming this way. If you're on this side, you don't have a church home, you'll be coming this way. If you're in the center, if you don't have a church home, you'll be coming this way. Over here, if you don't have a church home, would you come this way? Come and give me your hand. Give God your heart. We're going to sing some more. If you're here without a church home, without a Savior, you're going to come. Oh, tell me who can stand me for us when we call on his name is Jesus. Oh, precious. Come this way. In the name, in the name of Jesus, we have victory. In the name, Satan, oh, tell me who can stand me for us when we call on that. His name is Jesus. Oh, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told, get thee behind. Victory. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today. I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy. Oh, tell me who can stand me for us when we. I want to talk for just a little while from the subject. The doors of the church are still opened. The doors of the church are still open. Let the church say, the doors of the church are still opened. Clap your hands and give God praise if you believe that today. The doors of the church are still opened, still open. It is my absolute contention that all we do as the church and in the church is done so someone can come to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Anyone agree with that today? It is the reason why we're here. that the church exists for the reason that someone can come to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. I've said this to you before. I probably will say this to you again and again, because I strongly believe that every song we sing, every prayer we pray, every sermon that we preach, yes, every bulletin that we fold, and yes, every chicken that we fry, is done so that someone can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that God can get the glory out of our lives, and that all of his people may be blessed. God wants to do a mighty work through his church. After all, the church was God's idea. The church did not produce or create God. God produced and created the church. And we don't have God for our purpose. God has us for his purpose. For it was he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And his purpose is to let the world know that he is real and that he loves them. And he wants the world to know that he wants to be in relationship with them so that he can fulfill his purposes within them and then carry them to heaven to live with him forever. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, beloved, if we are not careful, we will forget that message. And we'll forget that this message is not just for us, but this message is for everyone. So we celebrate that. We celebrate that through our sermons. We celebrate that through our songs. We celebrate that through our shouts. But when we get through preaching, and when we get through singing, when we get through shouting, somebody ought to want to be saved. There ought to be something about our joy. There ought to be something about our peace. There ought to be something about our love. There ought to be something about our kindness. There ought to be something about our sincerity that someone wants to know when they see and experience that, hey, how can I have that? How can I have the peace that you have? How can I have the joy that you have? How can I know the love that you're talking about? And that's when we can tell them, hey, the doors of the church are open. Now, I'm sure you recognize that phrase, because I usually say it once I finish preaching each Sunday. And you know that it is listed in the bulletin as the invitation to Christian discipleship, which is an opportunity, by the way, for someone to come to know Jesus and to receive him as their Lord and Savior. I thank God for this church, and I thank God for the many ministries that we have, and one of the ministries that we have is our banner ministry led by Sister Caldwell, Brother Caldwell, and every liturgical season they put up these beautiful banners that have been created. But this particular one fascinates me, still fascinates me, because if you look at it, it depicts a church. But notice, as you look at this, you see the rainbow and the clouds and the dove hovering over the church. But look at the door of that church. It's opened. That blesses me every time I look at it. The doors of the church are open. It blesses me because when I see it, what it means to me is at least two things. It means that the door of the church is open so the ones on the outside can come in. But check this out. I'm sorry. Consider this. The doors of the church are open not only for those on the outside can come in, but for those of us who are on the inside can go out and be the church. Come on, give God praise. You believe that we're going to, somebody say, be the church. Be the church. This is so important, because in so many churches, in fact, too many, No one is coming in. Why? Because no one is coming out. The doors of the church, in fact, are closed. It's a shame when doors of the church are closed during the week. All week long, the doors of the church are only open for just a few hours each day. The doors of church cannot afford to be closed. I mean, really, in this day and time, what is the door of the church doing closed? And there were those who would be satisfied with the doors of the church being closed because it costs too much money to keep it open. The doors of church do not need to be closed, especially when everything else is open. All the time. Crack houses are open 24/7. Flop houses are open 24/7. Homicides and robbing and raping are going on 24/7. Hunger and homelessness and injustice is going on 24/7. I mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I've come by here to declare in this place that if the forces of hell are always on duty, then God's church has to be always on duty. Give God praise. You believe that? We've got to be on duty because hell is serious. Hell is breaking loose all over the place. And so if hell is breaking loose, it stands to reason that heaven needs to break loose too. The doors of the church are open. God is calling his church to be the church. And we are the only ones God has called to address the dilemma and the havoc that exists in this world. To minister to this generation that has gone astray, God has called his church. This generation that has been gripped, this generation has been gripped by all kinds of malady and mayhem. That this generation has gripped our minds, this generation and this culture that has gripped our families and our children, and this culture that is heading us down a slippery slope straight to the gates of hell. Things are out of control. Things are out of hand. There's chaos and confusion. We are living in a messed up and mixed up world. So messed up and mixed up that we don't know what we're looking at. We get so messed up and mixed up and confused and discombobulated by the issues that we're facing that we don't know what we're looking at. That's why we're looking it up and calling it down. That's why we're looking it down and calling it up, because we're so mixed up. We're so mixed up that we're calling what's good bad and we're calling what's bad good. We're so mixed up that we're calling the truth a lie. And we're so mixed up we're calling a lie the truth because we're so mixed up. We're so mixed up that men and women can't stay married, and men want to be married. We are so mixed up in this world that we are confused, and we are so much in chaos and absolutely out of control. When we consider all of what we are confronted with, nobody seems to be calling the world to order. Nobody seems to be calling this world to come back into control. And we wonder why things seem to be so confused and mixed up. And we began to look around and point fingers at who is going to fix this mess. And I've come by here to remind you that we can't look to books and talk shows to fix this. We can't depend on the school system to fix this. We can't depend on the mayor and the city council to fix this. We can't depend on the county commission to fix this. We can't depend on that crazy Congress to fix this. We can't depend on the state legislators or even my cool President Obama to fix this. Because the problem facing the world is not financial. The problem facing the world is not intellectual. The problem that's facing the world is not political. The problem that's facing the world is not psychological or sociological. The problem that's facing the world is spiritual. And the root of the problem is sin. And there's only one cure for sin. There's only one panacea for sin. Lord, have mercy. I'm glad you asked. What can wash? away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us bright as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm going to say what Andre Crouch said years ago. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Jesus is the only way. Give him praise if you believe it today. He's the only way. Yes, God is calling his church to call chaos to order. That God is calling his people to speak peace to the storm. That God is calling his people to bring hope to despair. And that's why the doors of the church are open.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7 listeners. Get ready for a minute with the doctor.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples after his resurrection and before he ascended back to the Father, "But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As you know, people of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, was given to us for direction, comfort, truth, discernment, and of course, power. As Christians, if we allow the Holy Spirit in us, as Jesus directed in Scripture, to allow us to be witnesses for him, it makes it possible to lead the lost out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is a promise from heaven. Please come join us at Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Sunday morning worship experience at 10 a.m. For more details, call 704-334-3782 or visit our website, www.littlerockamezion.org.
And the Spirit of God, my brothers and sisters, is the breath of God, the Ruah of God. Oh, God. The very breath of God. We can't do anything without the power of God. You can't do nothing unless God breathes on you. And God has to breathe. And when God breathes, he breathes himself into you. God. Even when you look at creation story, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and Moses, who writes Genesis, says the earth was out form and void, and darkness covered everything. And so what he describes it was a watery chaos. And he goes on to say that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And what happens is that God breathed on his creation. And then when God formed man, his image, his body was shaped, but his body was inanimate until God did what? Breathed unto him the breath of life. And when God breathed him the breath of life, man became a living soul. And when God breathed something, something happens. And God breathed again at Pentecost. God breathed again. Somebody said he breathed again. And I don't know about you, but I want God to breathe again. That's my prayer. I want God for this church to breathe again. Just breathe again. Breathe on this ministry. Breathe on all the families. Breathe on every home that's represented. Breathe on every marriage that's represented. Breathe on our children. And breathe on our relationships. And breathe on our bodies. Somebody wants God to breathe on your finances. And breathe on your career. Anybody want God's breath to come and breathe on you? We want God's power to breathe on me, O breath of God. Because you can do the will of God. You can't do the will of God without the power of God. The doors of the church are opened. So now we see Peter, once receiving the breath of God, he opened the doors of the church, you know, and they came out. That's what happened. That when God breathed on them, those who were on the inside did not remain on the inside. I always say they didn't stay on the inside trying to compare how each of them glowed. But they left out of the upper room and poured into the streets of Jerusalem. And they came out, they were absolutely on fire. So much on fire that the world who looked at them thought they were drunk. And Peter goes on to say that we are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. Of course, I don't mean nothing to some folk, but But he goes on to say that what you are seeing is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. When Joel says it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Listen, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody glad about that besides me? So when Peter gets through saying that, he goes on and says, men in Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. He goes on and starts talking to them about the ministry of Jesus and how the ministry of Jesus is explained through the seed of David. And reminded them of signs and wonders and miracles that had been performed. And David, who he's referring to, was not prophesying about himself, but David, in this instance, is prophesying about Jesus. And I love it when Peter says, that he is both dead, and that we talked about David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him that on the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He's talking about David. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That when they heard Peter's sermon, when they heard Peter's explanation, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And that's when Peter said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I love this. So that when all them of them who heard Peter preach, and when they saw the miracles of wonders that were going on before their very eyes, and once Peter reminded them that it was they who crucified Jesus. And I want you to know that when he said that you who you crucified, he was not just talking to the ones who were standing in front of him. He was talking to them, and he was talking to all of us. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us are responsible for his crucifixion, because he died for you and me. And so all of us had a part to play in that. So what he said, they asked the question, well, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. In other words, the first point is, the doors of the church are open. First point is, you got to repent from your practices. The church say, repent from your practices. So what do you mean by that? Well, this is what we mean. Whatever you are doing that is contrary to the will of God, stop it. That's what that means. That whatever you are doing, whatever we're doing, that is contrary to the will of God, stop it. Whatever you're doing that does not look like him, you got to stop it. God is blessing all of us, but we have not seen all that God wants to do in our lives. Did you hear me? Can I say that again? I said that God is truly blessing all of us. Anybody been blessed in here? that God is truly blessing all of us. He woke us up this morning and started us on our way. All of that. He's blessing all of us. But can I tell you something? We have not begun to see all that God truly wants to do in all of our lives. No, we have not. We have not seen what he wants to do for us individually. And we have not seen what he wants to do for us collectively. But I want you to know that God wants to bless, but God does not reward. Y'all paying attention? God does not reward disobedience. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with him. But we need to repent of our practices. Preacher, what are you saying? Let me make it plain. Things that you are doing that you shouldn't be doing, stop it. In other words, you need to stop thinking what you've been thinking. You need to stop doing what you've been doing. You ought to stop saying what you've been saying. You ought to stop laying where you've been laying. Lord, have mercy. You need to stop sleeping where you've been sleeping. You need to stop creeping where you've been creeping. You got to stop it. You got to repent. Because sometimes what may be standing in the way of your blessings and my blessings, and what may be standing in the way of the blessing of this church, is unconfessed sin. All of us are sinners. If you can't say amen, say ouch. All of us are sinners. Saved by grace. But you got to confess your sin. Because the only way to be forgiven, and confession is essential, you know, because the only way to be forgiven is to confess. And the good news is that you don't have to confess to me. And the better news is I don't have to confess to you. We got to confess our sins because he can't fix it until we face it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and seeking a church home, please feel free to come by our location, 401 North McDowell Street, just minutes from Uptown Charlotte. Our order of services are as follows: 9 a.m. Sunday School, 10 a.m. Morning Service, 12 noon Wednesday Midday Bible Study, and 7 p.m. Evening Bible Study. Also, if you were blessed by today's message and want to obtain a copy in its entirety, call 704-334-3782. That's 704-334-3782. If you want to know more about what's going on at Little Rock, you can visit us on the web at littlerockamezion.org. Little Rock AME Zion Church is a ministry with so much to offer. They have ministries for adults and children, choirs, missions, and outreach that helps inside the church and the community as a whole. And of course, this radio broadcast where God is glorified, Jesus is magnified, the people are edified, faith is fortified, and ministry is multiplied. Be blessed and tune in next week for the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker on WPZS Praise 100.9 and 92.7 and PraiseCharlotte.com.
Praise listeners, now you can listen to the Word by going to www.praisecharlotte.com and clicking on the podcast tab on your desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, where you'll find 5 dynamic 30-minute programs designed to inspire, motivate, and entertain you. PraiseCharlotte.com 24/7, 365. With the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker of Little Rock AME Zion Church. The Glory Has Come International Ministry broadcast with Pastor Troy and Prophetess Nicole King. The Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Pastor Matthew L. Browning. The Life Changing Church broadcast with Overseer Dorothy McGuire. And Motivations with Gloria. We know you love the music we play. However, there are times when the word from a preacher or someone's testimony will get you through the day. So please log on to PraiseCharlotte.com and click the podcast tab.